Welcome, folks, to the 15th of September Aries Working Group call. Glad you are here. We have some cool stuff on the agenda today to talk about. Deep linking. I want to bring up a community coordinated update, 496, and talk about that. And then I've got a quick RFC and, of course, open discussion if we end up with time at the end. I'm glad you're all here. This is a Hyperledger call, and we have an antitrust policy to abide to keep our work safe, and also a Hyperledger code of conduct. Should you have questions about either of those things, there are links provided here, and you can, of course, bring up any objections to really probably any member of the community, but I am certainly willing to help should I be able to be helpful. You are welcome to add your name to the attendees list if you want. The link to today's agenda is in the chat. We are all regulars here, but I would like to still hope you feel welcome. Announcements, we have IW coming up in October in about a month. And we also had a couple things added from last time, the Kiva Indie Diem project. And Stephen, you mentioned that the Did Indie method was getting started, and the right places for that is the Did Indie channel. Any updates there?
Hold on. I've lost my window. Can you hear me?
We can't hear you.
Okay. I don't know whether my mic is muted or not. The folks from Bosch converted the spec from HackMD into the DID method, Indie DID method repo. So that is now in there, can be edited, is automatically generated on merges, and is available. So I'll put the links in the in there to show that. It's looking good.
Awesome. So that's the documentation for the method, the Indie DID method, right?
All right. Yeah. And the reason they're getting interested in that is to start to get that to go live. They're starting to put code into that. Is the idea.
Awesome.
Where is my man? I'm getting used to being full on Mac since I bought an AirBook and or an Air, and every once in a while I lose Windows because my old methods don't work.
No mute button for you. You have to remain silent for an hour.
I know. Can't do that. You know me better than that. So I just put that in the chat, and I'll put that into the meeting notes where the actual spec is published, and where the Did Indie repo.
That is fantastic. I've had questions on what is needed, and I gave them a brief response, but I will direct them to these resources, and that's helpful. Excellent. Release status and work updates. What work updates would folks like to offer? For the projects we have.
Sam?
Yes.
Sorry, if we're into announcements, I added one in there and wanted to mention it. Findy Agent popped up yesterday in my world. They've just open sourced a whole pile of code and have interesting things. So I put that into the announcements section. But they've got a bunch of things there. So there looks like it is a new code base. Largely Go based. They have a Findy agent that I have not looked at, run the getting started and things like that. But their approach they decided on was a cloud wallet and a cloud agency. And looks like they have a PWA wallet as the strategy. So lots of interesting things to look at, but the they are using Aries, the protocols and so on for exchange. So and underlying for a non-creds and the network or in the ledger.
Thanks for surfacing that. Excellent.
There you go.
Cool.
Just one thing from my side, if I may.
Please.
First of all, there is a link on the chat to the Aries SDK for React Native from the project of the ESIF Lab. I don't know if you talk about that, but the link is worth to follow if they do not have any other resources there. As you know, this is a part of the ESIF Lab initiative, part of the infrastructure call. And as I understood, this is, I mean, it's dedicated. I had actually a link. Oh, no, I didn't have a link to the presentation from them. But there was a recording where they presented that. But basically, they are working on that React Native. So basically, to enable Aries on the mobile ecosystem, specifically on that framework. So that's the first thing. The second thing from the same initiative, Human Colossus Foundation is part of the DKMS for SSI, so Decentralized Key Management System for SSI as a call for ESIF Lab infrastructure. We basically will build the carry infrastructure to enable appropriate DKMS within that ecosystem. And another thing which is interesting, I think, from the Europe is that yesterday, there was a kickoff meeting of JTC 19 Working Group 01, which is addressing a decentralized identity management topics. And this work is, I think on the call was like around 30 people from a different organization in Europe, mostly representing the standard organization in each country. The overall group is addressing the topics related to the decentralized identity management. And if I will need to summarize the kind of vibe there, I would say that everyone is looking for the solution which is not touching the DLT. There was really kind of, let's say, protective in the context of that the solution or the recommendation which the EU is working on, it needs to be done in a way that it's truly decentralized and it's not tied to any network or a platform. And the interesting part which is related, I think the most interesting from the Aries ecosystem is that within the ETSI, so the one which is taking care of the specification for AIDAS, there is already work started on version 2.0, which is predominantly focusing on the wallet interfaces. So how the what kind of digital wallet or what kind of interfaces digital wallet should have and how other participants of that ecosystem can interact with that means that the idea is obviously that the wallet is completely owned by the user and it will just expose some interfaces which allows to do the different types of the interaction, including verification, proof requests, and you know things like that. Personally, we'll be involved in that work, so I will be able to keep you up to date, but just wanted to mention if someone is interested joining those efforts, I will paste some links in the chat so you can look around and eventually join. Thank you.
Very interesting, Robert. I wanted to ask you about the ESIF Lab Aries SDK for React Native. How close that is to the Aries React Native mobile agent and any involvement between those two groups there?
I don't know that actually, because I mean, today we had a kickoff meeting where it was just a short presentation. So I just learned what they are planning. Basically, they are focusing on getting the, as they said, Aries ecosystem running within the mobile environment, and they didn't specify any details. But I will figure it out more, and I will provide some insights.
Yeah, those are So that's the that effort is using React Native on the front side, and also the Aries the JavaScript SDK on the back end. For that. So any deduplication of effort that we can leverage might accelerate both sides of that. So
of course, I will actually have a dedicated call with those guys to figure out more. So I don't know how they are well connected in that ecosystem. If anyone from this call or our community actually interacting with those guys, or maybe someone on that call is actually representing Animo Solutions or no. We should have them here.
Animo Solutions is usually here, so
yeah. Timo is usually here and
involved here.
And
James Ebert is as well. So yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. I would add to that that efforts in Canada are starting up along the same lines and along the same stack. And I actually have a meeting on Friday to sort of talk insider stuff with Timo and James so that we can do more external alignment and make sure we're doing exactly what you're saying, Sam, which is minimizing the effort, the overall engineering effort, and making sure we're dividing up the work to get the most done with the least resources.
Yes, James had mentioned that the things were heating up along that vein. So that sounds excellent. Very cool. Okay.
One of the big things I'm trying to figure out is exactly, you know, if BC wants to produce a wallet, it sounds like that's in parallel with Bifold as opposed to on top of Bifold, which is how I had been understanding it. So it's figuring out where that split becomes. And so where we contribute everything and where we build our own component that I'm really trying to figure out. So just so you know, that's what one of the parts that we're trying to optimize, if you will.
Cool. Excellent that those conversations are happening. So that's very good. Okay. Work status updates, anything that folks want to offer about the progress being made in code bases?
On our front, we're probably going to have a 072 ACAPI just because there's some interesting things going in and we feel like it would be worth having one come out. A couple of things that we're missing, a couple of endpoints that we're missing, support in ASCAR that have been added, and things like those are the sort of key ones of why we would want to push it a bit harder. But there's some super interesting things going on in Aries Cloud Agent that, you know, tons of people jumping in and putting in commits and or PRs and moving it forward. So that's kind of interesting. Continuing to work on expanding the Aries agent test harness. We now have a back channel for Verity from Evernim and are starting to add test cases for Verity against the different other components that are in there.
Very cool. Any other work updates? Awesome. Okay, so for discussion topics today, I've identified a few. Deep linking, some of these things were brought up to me and asked about what the status was. And so we'll bring them up for discussion to kind of see where we sit. And so I had pulled up the deep linking unified DIDCOM deep linking for mobile. That's 268. Also RFC 496. This is the conversion between the community coordinated update to transition to out of band and data exchange from the connections protocol. And then the other thing is I've got an RFC which has received no comments, and hopefully that's because everyone says yay, wonderful, let's do it. That I wanted to bring up. That's what I had. That's what I had identified. Any adjustments or additions or changes that we should make to the agenda before we get going? All right. So deep linking here. This was written a bit ago after an IW where this topic was discussed. And so this describes a mechanism by which we can handle deep linking into the various both iOS and Android, primarily as mobile app platforms, so that you can link from a link and end up in a mobile app. The primary application of this is that scanning a QR code is one of the common ways to sort of make a connection to a mobile app, but you can't really scan a QR code in an email when you're on the same device seeing the email. That's not a thing that works well. And so you know, obviously a deep link that the person could click on to be able to end up with the same outcome would be desired. And this RFC has existed, but we haven't really had any commentary in the community for a long time on how to actually on how well this works, or adjustments that ought to be made, or other strategies to make this happen. To make it even more fun, the mobile worlds sort of gradually change as Android and as iOS you know, progress through versions and change things and deprecate old practices and introduce new ones. And so I wanted to bring this up to see if anyone has been doing anything in this area or knows more about stuff in this area that we could use to sort of seek common methods of doing this.
Just quick comment from my side. We did some prototyping in that space a long time ago. But I don't remember if I read through this RFC, but I can take a look in the next days and eventually provide some comments, because we use some mechanisms for our TDA to do the deep linking related with the limitation of the push notification and other kind of mechanisms to get deep linking mechanism on different platforms. Especially outside of the Google ecosystem and Apple ecosystem. So how to get that interaction properly without being connected to those services which they are providing, because this is obviously almost impossible, but yeah, in some cases necessary. But I will take a look on that.
Cool, thank you, Robert. I know we have a relatively small crowd today, and so we may not have some of the Timo, for example, and others with perhaps more experience might not be here. I'll bring this up again and to try and figure out and circulate it around to see if we can find folks that are actually actively involved here, because this would be good. This is going to end up being a concern of the Bifold effort and others, you know, as we're trying to come up with a standard way of doing this. It's made a little challenging because of various concerns, which include security concerns, but also some others, that having links that can be picked up by multiple apps isn't handled particularly great in iOS at times. Android seems to handle it a little bit better. Where you can have multiple apps that subscribe to the same thing, and the user gets asked, which is nice. And so if they have more than one app installed that is capable of handling a deep link. So, okay. So thank you, Robert, for taking a look at that. Any comments there are welcome. And if you know folks that are working in the area, if you wouldn't mind highlighting that to them, that would be great to make that useful. Next up is was written by our own Mr. Steven. This is 496, Transition to the Out-of-Band and Data Exchange Protocols. This was created towards the tail end about a year ago, and with the target completion date of 12/31 of last year. So we didn't make that, and I wanted to check in on this. So as a little bit of orientation, the goal here is to transition away from 160, the connections protocol, and move to a combination of the DIT exchange protocol, which is an updated form of connections, but also using invitations in out of band. There's a number of useful things that come from that combination, including sort of a half step forward for those not fully ready to go to everything, but to sort of provide a way of transitioning. This matters because invitations are encoded into QR codes, and those are scanned, and doing this in a uniform manner will sort of help us get there. In particular, the step one in the transition is described here, moves to out-of-band invitations, but using the connections protocol. And then after that's completed, then we move to DIT exchange and drop the connections protocol entirely in order to sort of be unified as we move there. This is necessary for community coordinated update because this ends up being encoded in a QR code. So there's nothing you know, placing the understanding on the user of which type they're scanning is a bad idea. And of course the app scanning it needs to be able to understand what's actually in it to make it functional. And so this is relatively important from an interoperability perspective as we move forward there. Is that a decent summary, Stephen?
Yep. Yeah. We really lost, you know, as we went off to AIP2, we lost the move to this, the big thing being the mobile developers not being here. And as far as I know, not supporting that. I'm pretty sure .NET does not support this, which leaves out the others, but I can't be sure of that. I don't know enough about the .NET code base, but I haven't seen a lot of updates to it. So I don't think this ever got done and did not surface in the mobile agents.
Right. So I had a conversation with James about this, and he said this is an area of developer guilt because he wants to do the new thing, except that everyone's busy and the old thing still works.
Yeah.
And so this is precisely why I wanted to sort of bring this up and surface it. One of the things that I think we could do, we don't have any mobile developers here with us at the moment.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I will do is message them independently and sort of bring this up and whether it happens in a future call or whether we, you know, have other asynchronous communication about this. I would like to revive this topic so that we can drop connections entirely and make that connection to using out of band and then with Did Exchange. That's going to ease the transition. Using out of band will ease the transition into DIDCOM V2 as well. And so that's going to be an important thing. And you're right. We just got wound up in AIP2 stuff, which is good. But I think that pushing this and helping us sort of get past this phase is going to help to make that happen. So cool. Rajesh, we see you in the chat. Welcome.
Hi, sorry. My headphones had some issues, so I can just say I am the baby. Thank you.
Oh, glad you're here. Cool.
Okay, sorry. I interrupted your conversation. Just go ahead. I can introduce myself later. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. So let me just finish up this topic, Rajesh, and then I'll give you a second.
Sure.
So... this again is an awareness thing. So what I'm doing is requesting your help. If you know folks working on mobile stuff, bring it up. My plan was to bring this up to the Bifold project, to the .NET folks, and to Evernym, and to see those are the three that we have. There's also let's see, there's the Lissy folks, right, with their wallet.
I can do that one. Okay, I've got a good connection path to Sebastian, so he's the right person on Lissy, I believe. As well, I can get in touch with eSatis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other wallet is the ID Ramp one.
Right. Yeah.
And so I will, I have a good connection there, and I can talk with the ID Ramp folks. And if we can coalesce this collection of wallets, I'm sure there's others that we're not really aware of. If we sort of make this happen, then I think we'll have enough of a move that it will motivate the rest of the industry to sort of come along. We need to have these discussions about, and try to coordinate on some timelines and stuff. Obviously, the originally proposed one didn't happen, but let's see if we can revive this and make this happen. I would like to point out that this is not the first community coordinated update, and the previous one was successful. We successfully killed anything but, an HTTP prefix for four protocols, which was excellent. I want to execute the same success here, so that we can coordinate the efforts amongst multiple, development teams to make this happen. So cool, Stephen, if you grab those two, I'll grab ID Ramp, Evernym, the .NET and the Bifold folks, And together, I think that will be with the goal of either talking asynchronously or hopefully, requesting their participation in an ARIES call so that we can talk about this and come up with some goals and sort of revive some energy around this. I think that would be a healthy thing for our ecosystem to do.
Sounds good. Good. Glad you raised this.
Other comments on this topic? All right. Now, Rajesh, now that your headphones working, welcome. We're glad to have you here. You want to take a minute and introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rajesh here. I work for a local bank in Singapore. What makes me bring over here is something like I just went to a Hyperledger course and some of the hard things which are going around the blockchain just made me to learn about Hyperledger. And then I just came to know about this open source community works which is going on with related to this project. So I just thought DID and the Indie is quite interesting one. It has how you uniquely identify a thing and how it's going on made me just be part of this crew. Basically, I'm a system administrator. I'm just trying to learn some on do some scriptings and other stuff in my local day-to-day work. That's all I can say about me. I just want to learn more about it, what's going on in this open source field. So this is my first open source community activity. I'm just seeing it for the first time. Okay, that's all from my side. Anything want to know about me?
Excellent. Welcome. Welcome and glad you're here. In addition to the meetings, the other resource that that is, will be useful for asking questions and getting information is the Hyperledger channels on Rocket Chat. So chat.hyperledger.org, and you can sign in, and there are ARIES and Indie and a variety of other channels that you can join and ask topics if you have questions or you're looking for resources. And so that's a useful thing too, because that's available all week long instead of just during a weekly meeting. So that's another resource that will hopefully be helpful to you.
Yeah, I've joined that group as well, the chat group as well. Only thing is I need to just need to go on the theory things and what are your work is. I'm just still going through those stuffs. I haven't seen what your work is. I'm still going through your documents and haven't caught up with all the things which are in your wiki yet.
There's a lot there, but we're glad you're here. There's also the recordings of past meetings available in the wiki as well, and agendas, so you can see kind of what topics are there. So that's okay. Also a useful resource.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Excellent. Welcome. Excellent. So the next thing that I had on the agenda, this is a PR that I've submitted. This is a protocol that wearing my DCO hat, have been requested to organize and create. This is a protocol that facilitates the process of forgetting someone. So this is aligns with the sort of the right to be removed, but isn't specifically oriented around GDPR. There's also CCPA is one of the officially recognized sort of legal basis for removal requests. And so there's a protocol that describes an interaction here. It's relatively simple, where you can make a request to be removed on a legal basis, and then a response that is a receipt of removal that can indicate the things that have been removed and the things that have not yet been removed because of conditions that prevent. So sometimes laws require retention, for example, of financial records for a specific period of time for anti-money laundering reasons or other things like that. And so this allows the data holder to indicate why they have not removed things and the conditions under which they will be removed, including either a condition or a date that can be listed there. So this is relatively simplistic. I can imagine more complicated scenarios that this does not yet sort of have the nuance to serve, but it's a start in this area. that could be used to be able to coordinate this among parties. So this has received precisely no comments since I created it 2 weeks ago. And I just wanted to surface it in case someone was interested and want to take a look at it before it gets merged in. Yeah.
Can I give you a little bit of feedback?
Please.
I think this is a great idea. It's similar to a concept that we discussed at one point. we were laughing when we said this, but we were talking about the "it's not you, it's me" message. I don't know if you remember
yes, that. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
So I think this is great. The one question I have about this is, do you have to send the message in the moment when you want it to take effect? Could you instead say, you know what, I just started up a conversation with Alice. And as soon as I start the conversation with Alice, I actually send her a message saying, hey, forget me tomorrow. Since DIDCOM messages don't have to be exchanged in real time, there's nothing that makes it problematic in theory for a protocol to last until tomorrow. So I could send the message today and she could respond tomorrow. And so I'm just wondering if the, like, I think it's a little bit unfortunate to have the triggering have to happen at the moment when you want the deletion to happen. Can we separate those two? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And that was one of the nuances that I sort of thought about and then didn't yet put in. Mostly because when I was thinking about the implementation of this, if you make a request to me right now and say, please forget me, then that's something that I can sort of act on now without having to sort of have an infrastructure to remember when I'm supposed to forget people. And maybe that's silly because for the removal strategies, you sort of need to have a system in place for that anyway. But the reason I didn't really include that yet was because mostly the simplicity of the implementation on the data holder side. Thinking, when the request is made, I will take steps to forget you, right? Which for a simple implementation could mean that, by simple, I mean one that isn't going to have any exceptions to that, meaning there's not any laws that require additional retention, that they could just say immediately, great, I'm going to just wipe out my data for your request and I'm done. And that implementation is very simple without having to have a mechanism in place to execute that forgetting at a future date. So I totally acknowledge the concept, the balance thing that I'm thinking about balancing that is the implementation effort required for simple things or for simple systems.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't want to advocate too strongly for the fancier version. I can see the wisdom in saying, you know, even a really dumb switch somewhere that has an embedded agent capable of only one protocol or two could support this just by saying the instant that they get the request, they do it. But the last thing I would say then is, what's the implication if you have an ongoing conversation?
So the implication is that it's done. So like when you pull this, and I think I say this in here, it is the expectation that after executing this protocol, all data will be deleted and the relationship fully terminated. So this is not another nuanced thing that this doesn't cover is the fact that I would like you to forget some aspects of our relationship and not others. For example, let's say we had a relationship and we executed some particular agreement or financial transaction, and I'd like you to forget that aspect of it, but retain the relationship. This doesn't allow for that nuance either. Not because I don't think we should ever allow that, but again, I was seeking for sort of the simplest thing first. It's the expectation that like the relationship is done and there will be no further conversation there. So if you execute this in the middle of some other conversation, the other conversation is effectively rendered done.
Okay. And that would include like you can't report an error on the other conversation.
Right.
Okay.
This is a little atomic in its execution. but it's also very clear and simple to understand on both sides. So
it is, yeah, it has, I think it's the, I mean, you're right. You're getting the trade-off that you intended. You're getting the simplicity and you're paying for it by not trying to do too much. And that's okay. That's fine.
Right. And my goal is that people, you know, use this or strive to use this and then struggle against the atomic nature of how this happens. And then we have forward progress either with another version of the protocol or an additional protocol with better nuance that for other conditions that this doesn't really serve well. Right. And so that was kind of the goal of keeping it simple, is that it's effectively functional now. But then, you know, we'll hopefully motivate a more nuanced approach in the future. I don't actually have a section here that talks about potential future things. And that's one of the things that maybe we could add here is a, you know, potential future work section, if you think that would be useful.
Maybe. A couple of other questions that occur to me. Is this always a one-to-one thing? Could this same protocol be used if there's a three-way relationship? Let's say a business partner is withdrawing from the business. So it's going from a three-way partnership to a two-way partnership. Can I send the message to both of my partners? Or is this only usable if it's a two-way relationship?
I think it could be this. So this is not addressed explicitly in it. My read on this is that, and this ties a little bit to our multi-party conversation thing before, meaning even multi-part party things rely on person-to-person messages. And so if Alice, Bob, and Carol are in a conversation and Carol wants out, she would send this to both Alice and Bob. With the expectation that is terminated there. That is not addressed well or explicitly anyway.
Last question I had is, what about a relationship where the DID visibility is uneven? That is, let's suppose Alice is using a peer DID or DID key or something, and Bob is using it's actually Bob's Burgers, and they're using a public DID. When you delete all knowledge of the person or of the relationship, if the other party in the relationship is a person, you assume that they're using a private DID, and you delete knowledge of the DID in addition to deleting anything that happened in the history of the relationship, any verifiable proofs that you received, whatever else, right? But if you're talking about an institution that's using a public DID on their side of the relationship, do you expect the same scope of deletion, or is this only usable? I mean, you gave two legal bases and both of them apply only to individuals.
Right. So I think so when you were talking about this, the XKCD of the Wi-Fi autoconfig came to mind. I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's like the overzealous Wi-Fi config that automatically kidnaps your neighbor's kids from school
to extort
the Wi-Fi password. So there's no expectation that whoever executes this goes and finds out how to make it delete the DID out of the ledger, right? That's not there. So obviously, there's limitations to how this applies. If any party using a public DID that executes this, the obvious expectation is that sort of any other identifier would the state there would revert to sort of an unstarted relationship state, meaning that the DID still exists on the ledger, but you haven't really been involved with that, or that you have no history of interaction with that DID. But this is a little unbalanced in the sense that it is mostly serving the personal case, not really the business case, because of how the legal bases here are oriented.
So going, so I can imagine a case where a person sends this to an institution, and I can also imagine a case where a person sends it to a person. but I can't really imagine a case where an institution sends it to a person. It's the sender's always going to be a person, I think.
So there's the parties listed here are the there's the data holder. This is not indented well, but there's the data holder and the subject. And so the data holder can be a person, but is also sort of assumed to be an institution. And so one of the things that I could more explicitly draw out here in this RFC is the implication that an institution sending this to an individual doesn't have the same effect. And that may be implied because of the recognized legal basis that you can state, but I think drawing that out might be helpful.
The other thing to know is that GDPR doesn't affect individuals holding data about other individuals. So that is not a valid legal basis for Alice to send a thing to Bob to sever their dating relationship. She can't say, I demand on the basis of GDPR that you remove all information about our dating relationship. It only covers the case where an institution is the data holder.
So I struggled with this because I was trying to avoid encoding the nuance of any future legal basis in this protocol.
Yeah.
And so where I settled was sort of specifying the legal basis here. What I didn't go deeply into is what would you do if the answer is no, right? Like, for example, if you sent from a person to a person, you send a removal request, you said on the basis of GDPR, remove me. And the answer is, I don't have to, I'm not an institution. What I had been imagining in my mind is an error report of some kind. But I waffled on this a little bit. I had it partially written at one point and then removed it about specifying the error report there. And the other thing that mentioned here is there's not a removal strategy, and I need to reformat this because this is supposed to be as a list, or maybe this is just not rendering it particularly well, but I should fix it anyway. So the removal strategy is either at date or at condition, and there is no removal strategy of I'm never going to forget this.
And that's an important thing that I think you want to put in there. I mean, if you're going down the road of please forget me, in a sense, it's almost like when Microsoft used to have in Outlook the withdraw the message I just sent to the whole company kind of thing. And of course, what happened is nobody deleted it. And the second message drew attention to the first one that you wish you hadn't sent. And
like the Streisand effect, but in email.
Yeah. Whenever I got those, I made sure I went and read the first email because they never deleted and it just never worked right. But what your premise here is that there's some legal basis. It's either a friendly basis, please sever our relationship, or it's a legal basis like GDPR, which if it doesn't apply directly to individuals, some other legislation will. So I think it's a reasonable thing to put in there. But your comment about what if the person says no starts to generate implications under the GDPR. What if they simply ignore delete me request messages? And what if they return one that says I did, but then they didn't? What are you trying to accomplish with this as the sender of such a message? Presumably under GDPR, there's some recourse that if you're not deleted, and so what that means is you have to be able to prove you sent the message, prove the other side received the message, prove that nothing, it seems like there's a little bit more down those lines of the no answer or the non-action answer.
What if you sent, as I'm building on Steve's idea here, what if you sent a message back saying, okay, here's what's remaining. I've deleted some of what you asked for. Here's what's remaining. Is it possible for the original sender to come back a day later and say, now delete this item from your remaining list? You know, in other words, can you have an ongoing conversation that gradually whittles down the data? Or is this a one-shot deal? And if you don't like the answer, you have no recourse because you no longer have a party listening to that did on the other side. So you can't come back and complain to them.
So that is a whole, meaning that should not everything be deleted? Is the relationship actually terminated then, or does it happen later? With the removal strategies that I've indicated here, the expectation is that either when the condition is met or when the date is met, it will be removed. And so this is right now the happy path is better represented than any sort of exceptions here. And I want to be careful that we don't get too far down the unhappy path cases in the sense of removal. For example, Steve, you mentioned like, well, you got to be able to prove that you actually requested this to happen. You would have to do that in any other method too. For example, if I sent an email to a company and said, please remove me because of GDPR, I actually don't really have a good way right now to prove that I sent that email and that they received it. And so the same complexity exists here in the sense that that if they just ignore me, there's not a really good way to sort of deal with that or to be able to sort of enforce that happens. Now, if I got a removal receipt, right, from the company, but potentially, I think a future version, this could be like signed instead of, sent in a reputable message. If I get a removal receipt and they don't actually do what they said, now I have something that I could present to a court to say, hey, they told me that they were going to remove these things at these points and they obviously haven't. And there's some other basis there. So this is the conundrum that I fell into with trying to not overfit the protocol to some particular legal situation, but rather sort of at least try to parallel the types of interactions that you might be able to currently have, but be able to execute it over a DIGCOM connection.
Well, yeah, well, and I think you can overthink that too. I mean, I guess I'm kind of brainstorming with you, so I'm thinking out loud a bit. But it seems like if I'm going to send a forget me message under a legal jurisdiction, I at least want proof that I sent the message and it was delivered, kind of like the equivalent of a registered mail here in the U.S.
Which you do with the please act decorator in DIDCOM V1.
Okay.
You could. So please act. I'm taking notes here so that I can go and sort of rethink updates to this. So you could please act it. And that would act the receipt of the message itself. The receiving a removal receipt would also work. Right. If you actually get a removal receipt back, that comprises a sort of a response to your request.
Well, yeah. So what if this is implemented in, I don't know, DIDCOM V3 or whatever? If you're sending to an organization, you're sending a message and they don't yet support that particular message. And in a sense that if this is a legal statute you're communicating under, that's kind of a problem too. So I like the idea of whether it's an ACK or whatever it is, that I get a receipt of the message independent of an actual removal receipt saying it was or was not processed. That way I can say, well, I sent them the message and be able to prove that it went there. And then make the claim that they aren't actually doing anything about it, independent of whether they're processing the message, which if it's a legal basis, presumably they should.
So Sam, I gave you a bunch of feedback, but the truth is, none of that was intended to stop this from being merged. I was just kind of like Steve, I was just thinking out loud. I think the only thing I would want to add to this before it's merged is a section about future work or unresolved questions where you just say, all of these things were put out of scope because we decided to do something simple and learn.
Totally agree. I think that would be great. I don't want to hold this up. I think let's push it forward. But there are some, as soon as we have it, like that Outlook, you know, withdraw the message scenario I mentioned, we're gonna find some situations along those lines where we're gonna want to refine, and it'd be good to capture those at the outset.
I think capturing those at the outset also helps people understand the trade-offs that we were making when we put this first version out there, right? Yeah, we totally thought of all these edge cases, but for efforts of simplicity, et cetera, and for, you know, motivating the conversation and until we can learn more, you know, we've decided not to solve them yet. And I think that's valuable. There are some things that I think are worth talking about. For example, the can I say no, or can I declare that there's some stuff that for a reason I have to retain, right? There. I can imagine laws that require retention of some stuff regardless of removal requests of any kind. And so, you know, acknowledging that, hey, this is something that I actually can't delete, and here's why, I think maybe a removal strategy that I should officially recognize in the protocol. I think that's useful. Of course, if you wanted to escalate this, you would not escalate it within the protocol necessarily, at least this one, certainly you would escalate it using whatever existing legal means you actually have to pursue such things. And this is not an attempt to like solve that, right? So, cool. This has been super useful as far as this conversation. So I appreciate your feedback and the thoughts here. I think this will get better as a result of our conversation here today. So very cool. And hey, with that, dang it, we've made it to 8:58. And so we're roughly out of time. Is there any topics that people wish we talked about today or would like to get on the schedule in the future?
I would like to talk, and I don't know if next week is really the ideal day, because next week at this time, I'm going to be in London presenting at a conference, but I would like to have a slot in a proximate meeting to socialize the work I've been doing on NWISE protocols.
Oh, yes, that'd be excellent.
I think it would benefit from having many minds here where my mind has gone. I've been talking about NWISE protocols for 3 years, and I've actually gone deep into one now, and I've uncovered some patterns that I think are generally going to be true of lots of NWISE protocols. And so I just want to discuss that.
So perhaps in 2 weeks?
Yeah, maybe. That'd be good.
Since you won't be in London 2 weeks in a row. Excellent. That would be a wonderful topic. So I will, I'll pencil you in for that, and we can adjust if necessary. Other topics that folks want to talk about or bring up on future calls?
One of the things we're working on is the possibility of a digital wallet for BC. And we're trying not to constrain the user experience. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about at some point is where protocols and machine readable governance frameworks are needed to enable the user experience that people would like to see in wallets. So there's a couple of things we want to do as well around being able to initiate transactions based in the wallet, and then the use of perhaps action menus may be enough, but the use of that for making richer the interactions between from an enterprise, say, to a user. So there's a couple of areas of interactions that we want to explore And I think they need to be in protocols. My guess is there are protocol implications to them. I know Daniel does not like it to hear having user experience driven, protocols driven by user experience, but we think there's some areas for it.
What type of discussion would you like to have there, Steve? Is that something where you present concepts? Is that are there subtopics that, to address?
Yeah, I think the plan is sort of to tease out the what we'd like to see at the UI level, and then what are the implications of that, and what do we do? Something as simple as, you know, getting an image for a credential. How do you do that in a trustworthy way? And avoid phishing attacks, stuff like that. Something as simple as that, but there's other ones that fall into the, and that in itself might fall into machine readable governance frameworks. So we're starting to explore this. I'm not quite sure when we'd have enough that it comes at the protocol level, which is where it would be of interest here.
Okay.
Good concepts, yes.
So, I'll list it as a pending topic, and then we can bring it up in the future as it progresses a little.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you everyone for coming. We're past the hour. I'm grateful for your attendance here today, and I hope your week is a great one.